Welcome to the Think Like a CFO podcast, where we dig into not only what it takes to start a business, but to keep your business thriving for years to come using my signature CFO money method framework. I'm your host, Melissa Houston, and I am a CPA and business financial coach. I have over 20 years of experience in business, and it is my passion to share my knowledge of business finance and personal finance with other women. You can also follow me with my column at Forbes.com or my column with Entrepreneur.com. Jackie Porter is an award-winning financial planner, best-selling author, mentor, and speaker who has helped thousands of clients keep thousands of dollars in their pocket. With 23 years of experience, Jackie is one of Canada's most recognized financial planners. Known as the Financial Confidant, her advice and financial strategies have been featured in top financial publications such as Forum, Wealth, Professional, Investment Executive, Toronto Star, and the Globe and Mail. She is often asked to share her advice at conferences, radio interviews, podcasts, and television programs. She was also awarded the 2019 Wealth Professional Female Trailblazer of the Year Award. I am so pleased to welcome Jackie Porter to this show to share her financial knowledge with us. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the Think Like a CFO podcast.
Hello. So nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you. Finally, we've been juggling calendars back and forth for a bit, but finally we've got everything working out.
I'm telling you, Melissa, it's meant to be today.
So I would love to hear a little bit about your business.
Okay. You know, my business is financial planning, and very early on in my career, I realized how important financial planning was, especially for women. You know, as a person myself who kind of came into this industry accidentally, I just recognize how powerful it is to understand how money works and how to build wealth. And really, it's kind of been my crusade to empower women around financial literacy education as much as I can. And I get an opportunity to do that with women who head up their own practices every day. And it's super exciting, I have to say. So financial planning is my business. And that really breaks down to helping people figure out retirement. You know, sometimes it's doing things like talking to people. And I have a number of women contacting me during this time saying, if I wanted to divorce my husband, if you can believe it, can I afford to do that? you'd be shocked the kind of stuff that comes by my desk. But it's also people who go through another thing that's kind of happening during the pandemic is people going through sudden unemployment. So it's, what can I do to maintain my financial circumstances as I transition to another job? Or also, can I afford to retire if I get transitioned out? So these are some of the things that I'm seeing. That's kind of stuff I see in my practice quite a bit, but even more so during the pandemic. But it's kind of helping people to kind of think through their financial circumstances and approach it in a meaningful way for them. Because I find for a lot of people, they can see financial information as boring and inaccessible. And really, my mission is to make financial literacy not just accessible, but motivating and exciting. I'm like all about how can we put the fun in finance? I think there's a lot of excitement to be had there.
For sure. I mean, we're talking about financial health. We're talking about, you know, women empowerment, and what better way to combine the two? Like, as a woman, you need to take care of your own finances. I'm a firm believer in that. Whether you're in a relationship, a partnership, whatever, if you don't have a clue what's going on in your finances, then, you know, that's a little bit of a warning sign and a wake-up call for women. So you've definitely come to the right podcast to talk and geek out about finances, right? Because I am all about women learning how to manage not only their business finances, but their personal finances as well. So can you tell me a little bit about your typical client? Like, are they self-employed? Are they gainfully employed professionals?
Absolutely. I'd probably say it's 60-40. So I'd say 60% of my clients head up their own practices or are self-employed, have businesses with under, like, say, 15 employees. That would be a typical client of mine, though I do have clients that they are retired and they might have been referred to me. So they are either approaching retirement or and they want some help around planning for retirement. A number of those people also happen to be single women. I've written a book on single women called Single by Choice or Chance. So it was really interesting, Melissa, when you were saying whether you're in a relationship or not, I was thinking about that book and the research around that book, which kind of talked about the fact that women who expected to at some point manage finances on their own had better outcomes, financial outcomes, than women who did not expect that they'd have to manage their own finances. So it's so important for women in particular to get confident around their finances, get comfortable making decisions around money. And these are some of the things when I get to work with women. And one of the things you should know are millennial entrepreneurs tend to be more confident than baby boomer women when it comes to managing their finances, because millennials tend to start their own businesses. They're the fastest rising demographic of entrepreneurs. So I find those women tend to be much more vocal in their relationships when it comes to money management. And they come into my office and they're like, how do we organize things around our finances? How do I have, you know, they want me to help facilitate money conversations with their partner, with them on this is what we have a plan. And they have a very good idea of what they want. And it's really just helping them create scenarios. Whereas I find middle-aged women, so women 45 and over, baby boomers in particular, we don't learn about finance in school. They're a little less confident, but the bigger issue is they're less confident, but closer to retirement. So I'm spending a lot of time on the financial literacy education piece, on the empowerment piece to help build their confidence around making decisions. And that when that happens, because there's so much shame in our society when it comes to not knowing about money, and women in particular, just based on truthfully, the other piece of it is not enough women being in the industry. And really over in the last 10, 15 years, women coming into the industry, this sort of pecking order on who wants to look after you and who doesn't. And the information being kept close to the chest, right? And not sharing information. So I've had a number of women say, even in financial planning conversations I've had with other advisors, the advisors talking to the husband, even sometimes when they're female, right? Because it's a male-dominated industry. So just, I always say to women, you don't need to work with me, but make sure whichever advisor you're working with is prepared to not talk down to you when it comes to talking about money and explaining things, breaking things down and taking away the jargon and making sure that they help you understand, breaking it to your level on how this is going to impact your life. How is this going to meaningfully affect your finances? Understanding how your rate of return is going to give you financial security in the long term. You know, helping you tackle some of the things that women care about, like debt and getting rid of debt. So these are the kinds of conversations I'm having with my clients. And I'm just saying to clients, find people who definitely you feel smarter working with.
And I love that you address that as well, because that is certainly a problem in the finance industry, whether you're looking at accountants or financial advisors or whatever. Like, people come into your office, or not you and I, but into a office, and they're the clients, but they're being spoken to like they're not valued. I take huge issue with that. And I always tell my clients too, when you go into an accountant's office, they don't have the courtesy of talking to your level, because you're the client. And there's a reason why you don't understand that jargon, is because you didn't go to school. You didn't study it.
That's it. And if they don't feel like they want to waste their time, like explaining things to you, or they don't think your account is big enough, work with somebody who feels comfortable with your account and wants to help you. That's your right. It's your money and it's your choice. And I just think that we're at this inflection point with the industry where humanizing the industry is something that we have to pay attention to as an industry. And I know I talk about humanizing the industry a lot. That's one of the reasons I think, you know, making financial literacy something that people find fun and motivating. And one of the reasons I also call myself a confidant, because people feel very intimidated talking about their finances, especially if they don't feel they did things right or correctly. And you know, maybe they're going through a divorce and all kinds of money. They're trying to rebalance. They're trying to recover their circumstances, or their business isn't where they want to be. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, let's just think about the future you want to create. What do we need to do to get there? So find your tribe, find your financial tribe, right? Your accountant, your advisor, your mortgage or banker, find that tribe of people that are going to support some of the things, especially for business women who are so busy.
Oh yeah.
Find those people who are going to help to support you so you can focus on building your business and building that bank account.
Exactly.
To power those dreams that you have.
Exactly. And these are important skills to learn because this is where you're making your money. When you've got that financial literacy down pat, you know, you understand the decisions you're making so that you're making smart choices and, in business jargon, you know, profitable decisions as well. So I love that you wrote a book. So would you tell me more about that?
Sure. So the book was about, as I said, women who are single by choice or chance. So the book is called Single by Choice or Chance, A Smart Woman's Guide to Living Longer and Better. And I wrote it with my mentor, and we made it a lifestyle book because we didn't want it to be another boring financial book. We wanted, again, to focus on things that women care about. So we decided we collaborate. And the book talks about financial issues that women go through. And we have different characters in the book because, hey, I love drama. So I'm like, let's get some drama in there. Let's have some characters that resonate with women that might be a woman who's going through that experience, right? So now that we're talking about different characters, some women who always never wanted to get married because they're women who don't, right? Yep. And then there are also women who became suddenly single by divorce, some who were common law, and what were their outcomes? What were some of the challenges they had to deal with? How could they overcome those challenges? And how some who were widowed. So it's just, what are the different potential journeys that women who become single go through? What can you learn from those women? And we tell their story. So a quick funny sidebar is, I remember when I wrote the book and I read it to a really good friend of mine. I'm like, tell me what you think of this character. So this particular character was Samantha, and she was going through a divorce. And I'm reading her, Samantha's story. And she's like, why do you have all my business out there on the streets? She thought I was actually talking. I'm like, this is not your story. This is just any woman's story who's going through a divorce. But you'd be surprised how many women tell me those characters resonate with what their journey was.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's wonderful that you wrote the book. And for our listeners, we will make sure that we leave the link to the book in the show notes so you'll be able to find that there.
Yeah. So some of the fun chapters are things like, because we're talking about single women, we talk about what are the numbers? What do you need to be thinking about when it comes to your finances? But there's also chapters on taking care of aging parents. And that chapter is called, Are You Sandwich or Hamburger? Loving the life you lead. You know what I mean? Because part of being a woman who's taking the reins of your finances and confidently doing that is loving the life you're leading, whether you're with somebody or not, not waiting, right? Making a decision on improving your financial health for the long term.
Yeah, that sounds like a really valuable book. Now, are you a financial fee-based financial advisor, or do you sell products as well?
I'm a hybrid. So I sell products. And all of these things are things you need to, I'm glad you asked that question, because these are things your client should ask. Well, first of all, what designations does your advisor have? I have a CFP. This is what allows me to talk to clients about their finances and charge a planning fee. Because what I do when I do financial plans is I look at all of your documents. I try to understand your story. What do you want your future to look like? What are actually some of the dangers in your current situation? What are some of the opportunities in your circumstances? What are the things that we want to double down on, the strengths to what you're doing around your finances that we can emphasize? And really, I can do that by understanding your numbers well and understanding what it is you tell me you want to do. So once I look through your documents, understand, you know, your circumstances from that point of view, I can come back to you and show you some scenarios on how we can optimize your circumstances and reduce risk and provide you with the desired outcome that you want. Or look at, okay, maybe we're here, but maybe if we did, you know, a few things to optimize your circumstances, we might not be able to get there tomorrow, but we'll be able to get here in this time period. So it's just kind of, I find aligning people's money with their numbers and their story basically is a full conversation, because I find it doesn't matter how complicated somebody's money story is, they understand it. They just want to know if I understand it. Just kind of like what you do, right? With accounting, they understand their story no matter how complex. They want to make sure you understand it. And that's where trust really begins. Because I never tell them anything new in the first meeting. They're like, yeah, you know what I mean? Okay, you get it too. So now, okay, what do you recommend? But they want to make sure I understand their circumstances well.
Relatability is huge.
Because we can't start looking at scenarios until we're both on the same page as to where they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can tell just by talking to you and looking at your face and stuff, you're very warm and welcoming. And I could definitely see how people would feel very safe in your presence.
So on the product side, so the products in terms of commissions, full disclosure. So that takes me time, obviously, to go through people's tax returns, their investment statements, their wills, their insurance policies, just because I want to give them a complete picture of what their circumstances. So I do charge a fee for that, which is separate and apart from if I make recommendations for whatever product. Because as a broker, I can give them third-party information on anything. And some things in the plan have nothing to do with product, right? They have to do with, you know, these are strategies you might have to do with your accountant. And we need to loop in someone like yourself, Melissa, because even if I come up with the most brilliant of ideas, if you're not involved in the process, because there might be things I don't fully know about the circumstance that I need to run through you. And so these are all the things. It's also just taking on that quarterbacking role. So clients get an opportunity to kind of understand, how does all these different pieces of my financial life, my accounting side, my insurance, my will, how does it all fit into what I'm trying to achieve?
Yeah, and it can be very complex. And so do you take them through a program and explain them, you know, step by step? Or is this a structured program?
Yeah, 100%. So the program is basically when I do a financial plan, they are the drivers of the plan. So they might say, you know, my goal is I want to figure out when I can afford to retire. Like, I'm really worried. It's only 15 years away now. I was shopping the first few years. Now I need to shift and figure out, you know, what my numbers are. So that might be what they come to me about. But if we're doing a plan where we're going to look at their cash flow, look at risk, we're going to look at their investment plan and tax plan, estate plan, then I want to make sure I address all of those things. But I'm going to start with the retirement plan in mind, because that's the main reason they came to me. But if we're doing a full financial plan, we're going to look at all of those things and understand what they're trying to achieve in all of those areas.
Now, if you're talking to a potential client and they're like, let's say between 45 and 60, and they're starting to get a little nervous about their retirement, they haven't really done a whole lot in terms of saving, and they don't have a pension, what would your advice be to them?
First thing I do in that scenario is let's put all the numbers together, because I love, there's safety in numbers. There really is, from a standpoint of, I'm like, let's put all of what you have, let's put it all together, let's look at what you get from CPP, and depending on their income tax bracket and how far they are away from retirement, I'm like, we should factor in old age security, or we shouldn't factor in old age security. So let's put all of those numbers together and run it at a very conservative rate of return. So again, depending on how close they are to retirement and the risk level, normally I use 4%, 5%, and 6%. And let's just run that. And then let's look at what your lifestyle is. Like, what do you think you're going to need if we're being very conservative on numbers again for retirement? What's your lifestyle going to be? So if I have all of that, I can tell them what they need to save. How much trouble are they in? Like, what will your current assets produce as income based on when you're going to retire? So is it 10 years from now, 15 years from now? How short are you? Do we need to save that much more? Because it could be at 4%, they might just be missing the mark, but at 5, they are okay. Do you know what I mean? So rate of return matters. So it's just really putting all of those things into context. And then we can start going, okay, maybe if you work 2 more years, or you work part-time, or you got a higher rate of return. So then we can start looking at our options inside of that plan. So for me, the most important thing I can do for a client is give them options. It's not usually one solution. It could be, maybe we downsize, maybe we sell the house and down. Like, so the key is, the more time you have between now and retirement, the more options you have.
Yes, absolutely. That's key.
But it's to break it down into numbers for them to understand their numbers, for them to understand the options around their numbers. Because yeah, like I said, there's safety in numbers. Understand what your numbers are, and you'll have a lot more comfort as to what your circumstances can look like.
Absolutely. Now, there's something I would love to revisit that you mentioned earlier, and you said that you stumbled upon this career by accident.
Yes, the accidental advisor, I call myself.
I'd love to hear more about that story.
Sure. I actually thought, if you had asked me in my university years, I would have said to you I was going to become a psychologist. I thought that's what I was going to do. And I didn't really learn about money growing up. I was raised by a single mom who always said to me from the time I was really young, never rely on a man, always have your own money. And I often tell the story of my mother, because she was a single mom herself. She was someone who had a bunch of jobs that, unfortunately, because of what child labor laws were back then, that we didn't have really good babysitting laws either. So whatever she was involved in, by default, I was as well. So,
so you visited a lot of workplaces?
Well, she was a caterer. She sold Tupperware for the people out there who remember what Tupperware is. I know I'm totally dating myself. I'm totally good with that.
I think Tupperware is still a thing.
Oh, okay, I don't know. I just remember that we were Coppercraft. Anyways, I could go on. But all of the businesses that she was involved with, she ushered at events. I was involved in all of them. And one of the things I learned from my mother was a really amazing work ethic. Because, of course, when you're that age, you're just so resentful of all the things that you have to do. But, you know, truly, she inspired me with a fantastic work ethic from a very, very early age. But we never talked about money. Like, she was an immigrant to this country. And what you learn from that type of work ethic is you, for anything that you need in life, you have to work really, really hard to get it. So, you know, fast forward a few years later, my mother passed away when I was 16, and I became suddenly single. And that really sort of completely changed the nature and course of my life at that point in time, because I was so young, but I was already good at working a few jobs and going to school because of my training ground. So I had to shift focus on keeping a roof over my head and food on the table. And, you know, my mother kind of prepared me for that without realizing it, right? So that was kind of my existence until I got my first full-time job after, because I went through university again, working a few jobs. And the one memory that stays with me from those days is people coming to me for advice because they saw me as a young person with my girlfriend, actually, who's also like somebody who has been on her own for a long time, living as roommates. And they thought we had it all figured out because here we were living on our own at such a young age and seemed to know what we were doing. But truly, all we knew was how to work hard and pay the bills. So when I got my first full-time job, and then that was 5 years later, I was actually really good at saving at this point. So I maxed out everything that that company had to offer. And I then got downsized from my first full-time job. And I actually, that same friend that I lived with referred me to a financial planner. And that was actually the first time I've heard of the profession. And that planner that I sat down with happened to be a woman and a woman of color. So I have to tell you, Melissa, she might as well have been a unicorn at the time. But her being my first contact with a money conversation, because she sat down with me and she's like, you have these things that you've saved up for the company. Have you thought about making money work for you instead of money passing through your hands? And so that whole conversation of money working for me, I have to tell you again, being someone who is working so hard for, at that point, it would have been, I was 26, so it would have been 10 years of me, you know, working three jobs and then getting this full-time job. I was still working part-time somewhere else just because I was so used to it. Really, the conversation we had, the very first money conversation I had with this advisor, changed the course of my life, because all I could think about was, how can I make money work for me? I want to join this profession. I don't ever want to work this hard anymore. So
it's so true too, right?
Yeah, exactly. But while she was telling me how money could work for me, I was like, I want to join this profession. I want to know how to do this. I have never had a conversation like this. It was a game changer. It actually led me to change course because I thought I was going to go back to grad school and get my journalism degree. I thought I was going to either be a therapist or a journalist. So I'm like, okay, I'll go to grad school with this package, but never thought about finance. And our one conversation led me on a completely different course that created a seven-figure net worth for me, just figuring out how to make money work for me. And then I thought about all the women who were like me, who never had a money conversation with anyone. And, you know, really what a difference it would make. I started really having these kinds of conversations and sharing my story when I wrote the book and realized, because when you go through something like what I went through, it wasn't a source of pride. It was really a source of shame. But what I realized going through that was women actually resonated with my story. So it stopped being about me at that point. I realized just how important sharing my conversations, sharing my journey was, and what a difference it makes in other people's lives. Like the impact my story had on other people and building their confidence, because I'm not special. I mean, I've just been doing it longer, learning about money.
Yeah, but it's quite a story that you have to get where you are today. So kudos to you. I mean, that's definitely a hard journey.
Yeah. And I tell it because I think I'm not special. Like, I just think I've been doing it for a long time. And it's to really impart to people that you can too. I'm a first generation Canadian. I have no money background other than having a real desire to be financially secure. And I think that and making a decision, because in that moment with that advisor, I made a decision that I wanted to be wealthy and I've not looked back.
Okay, I can't leave listeners hanging. Did she give you the job?
Well, yeah. Yeah, so she was my first 4A. That's when I started this industry.
Excellent. And
yeah, so she passed me on. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave the list. she definitely got me involved. That's how I started to get all my licenses. I started studying for all of my exams. And yeah, the rest is history.
That's amazing. Well, I could definitely sit here and talk about money with you all day, because us money nerds tend to love to do that, right?
Now, true.
If there was one particular message that you would really want to leave listeners with today, what would that be?
Don't put off getting comfortable with your money, because it's a conversation you A, need to have with yourself. You need to have it with the people around you, but you need to have it with yourself first. And I find that not making a decision about your financial future is a decision as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Awesome. So if listeners want to reach out and contact you, how would they find you?
They should go to my website, askjackie.ca, reach out to me, reach out to my team. Because we've been on this podcast with you, we offer people who we reach out to this way on our on podcasts that we go on, a 30-minute complimentary, what's your financial IQ? If your listeners are looking at wanting to have tangible strategies to improve their financial circumstances, someone from my team will book a meeting, go through the What's Your Financial IQ process with you so that you have an opportunity to feel smarter about money.
That's absolutely fantastic. I love that you do that. And I will make sure that those links are in the show notes for people. And it has been beyond a pleasure discussing all things finance with you. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
This has been a pleasure for me as well. Thanks for a great conversation.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Think Like a CFO podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA. If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. Until next time, I'm Melissa Houston, and remember, nobody will ever care about your business as much as you do. So never give your financial power away.